One of the chief representatives of the main association came in and said, even before saying good morning, his association has been supporting standardization for many years with tens of thousands of euros per year. And the head of our legal department said, well, we won't even be starting with any talk of blackmail. That isn't... Oh, yes, that's what's called blackmail. And good morning, by the way.
Human beings are not ants. Unlike our tiny friends, we don't naturally know how to live together in large groups. This is why we need rules. And besides political rules, we also have technical rules, also known as standardization. It's actually one of our democratic rights to contribute to shape these rules. In this podcast, I will not tell you what you really should know about standardization. Because Amelie Leibrand will.
Welcome back to our little series, Human Beings Are Not Ants. What you never wanted to know about standardization, but definitely should know. My name is Amelie and I'm happy that you've joined me here again today. We've already talked about how standardization is the process of how the contents of standards are developed. The dean ensures throughout the development of a standard that it is democratically legitimate and complies with antitrust legislation. That one way to ensure that this is the case is to have rules when it comes to the composition of experts in the standards committees. And practical information on how you can get involved. Today we will focus on the second aspect, specifically the process of how a standard is actually written. Standards are subject to strict regulations regarding the way in which they come about. It's definitely not the case that everyone just writes what they want into a standard and then at some point they are done and Dean puts the final stamp on it. It is much more complicated and sometimes even cumbersome, and that is a good thing. Sounds a bit strange, I know, but I'm going to explain it to you. Well, of course, the text has to be written. But then, once the standards committee has finished discussing everything and says, okay, we've got it, this standard is ready to be published, at this point comes the decisive step. Putting it out to the public. For each standard, a draft is published before the official publication for 2 months. During this draft phase, anyone who wants to can go to our draft standards portal and take a look at the document and make comments on it. We will put the link to the draft standard portal in the episode notes for you. So anyway, you can write, for example, in clause 17, it says this or that, and this is wrong. It should actually be so-and-so. And if you submit such a comment, you can do this right within this draft standard portal, then you will even be invited to an obligatory meeting where objections are voiced. Here you can express and discuss your concerns directly with the experts in the committee. And if they reject your comment and you are not satisfied with this decision, you can initiate an arbitration process. Hey, wait a minute. Didn't we talk last time about standards being developed in consensus? How can a comment just be rejected then? Okay, let's break this down for a moment. Yes, standards are adopted using a consensus-based process by the standards committee. This is where the consensus is formed among the experts on the standards committee. A comment made to the committee from outside during the public commenting phase does not have to be taken into account. The committee can say, oh my, we decided against this right at the very beginning, reject it. Of course, the committee can also say, oh wow, good point. We really hadn't considered that yet. So yes, the standards committee can in fact reject comments on the draft document. This means two things. Even if you are not in the committee, you can still contribute your own ideas, namely as a comment on the draft. But this also means that if you want your own ideas to be implemented, then you should have a seat on the standards committee as an expert. So then, let's assume the committee said rejected. Then, too bad, right? No. Then you have the option of arbitration. This means that another attempt is made to resolve the conflict, this time at a different level. That is perhaps the bosses of those who had previously been in discussion. This can be done multiple times if necessary. Maybe you think it's a bit silly that we just keep talking to each other all the time. Maybe you like the idea of Dean finally pounding on the table and saying, okay, enough with the endless discussion, this is how we are going to do it. Most of us are kind of used to this. Everywhere there is somebody who tells us how things are going to be done. Back in the day at school, our teachers. At university, our professors. At home, our parents. At work, our boss. But not Dean. How we do things is truly quite unique. This also requires something really special from the experts in the committee. Namely, the willingness to find compromises and the ability to achieve results with the discussions. There is no one who dictates the final outcome. Everyone discusses on equal footing, and Dean does not impose any content. We are neutral when it comes to content. It took a while for me to realize how valuable this is and how unique, even in our democracy. Kind of crazy, right? Doesn't democracy mean, after all, that we all collectively determine the rules by which we all want to live together? So now, the million-dollar question is, if Dean does not determine the content of standards and makes the final decisions, then what exactly is so special about Dean? Dean is neutral, not passive. Do you see the difference? Passive is when I do what the person who yells the loudest wants. Neutrality is something you have to be able to defend, otherwise it's worthless. And Dean does defend it. I once experienced such a situation because a particular project landed on my desk, which I will tell you about in a second, but I have colleagues who deal with these types of situations all the time. This experience was truly an eye-opener for me and is ultimately why I am doing these podcast snippets for you, because it was only then that I really understood what Dean is and how important it is that you know too. Well, actually, I'm not exactly allowed to tell you this. It's really internal stuff. But since it's important to me, I'm just making the whole thing anonymous so that I can share it with you. So here's what happened. 5 out of 6 manufacturers of a certain technology that we have in Germany are sitting in the standards committee. And a few others who kept kind of a low profile. The committee had like a main standard for the essential technology, which was already a bit older. The 5 manufacturers were totally happy with it. The production flow was running great, everything fine. The 6th manufacturer had done more research and developed a much more environmentally friendly variation of this technology. The methodology had changed a bit, and due to this change, the 6th manufacturer could no longer offer their products according to Dean, because this change was not reflected in the standard. In this industry, however, it's super important that you can write according to Dean on your products, otherwise you won't sell a single one. So the 6th manufacturer submitted a standardization request to the standards committee, asking whether the standard might not be broadened. The committee wrote back, "Nah, we don't want this." The 6th manufacturer found out that you can not only develop standards at Dean, but also specifications. These are called Dean specs. They are developed in a slightly different way, but more on that later. An important difference, in the case of a standards proposal, we ask the committee that is thematically closest, we have the following proposal here, do you want to do it? As for a Dean spec, we ask, we have this proposal, is there already an existing document? As you can see, there's a crucial difference. As far as a standards proposal, the standards committee is used to having the final say over the fate of an issue. Meaning, if a committee rejects a topic, it does not get included in standardization. This is a very elegant way to slam the door in the face of your favorite competitor's ideas. But a standards committee does not have this power when it comes to a Dean spec. In the case of my story, the committee tried it anyway and wrote back, "Nope, there's nothing and there shouldn't be anything. This is the way we want it." And we replied, "Yeah, thanks, but that wasn't the question. The question was, is there already something out there addressing this issue? And if there isn't anything and the initiators need something, then they can initiate a Dean spec project." And believe me, the experts in the committee were not thrilled about this. And the emails in my inbox got more and more unpleasant, with CC all the way to the top of our executive board. The group leader in the standards committee at the time, this is the boss of the committee on the Dean side, accompanied the colleague in charge of the committee to a meeting of this group, and then explained to the experts that they had taken on responsibility for the topic in standardization, not just for their company interests. Of course, they can represent their company interests. I mean, this is why they were sent by their company to sit in the committee. But they are not permitted to block or cut off others. The experts understood this, and they stopped communicating with me directly, but rather through their lawyers, which included threats and everything else. And once again, with CC all the way to the top. Then Dean's management board stepped in and invited the comedy expert to sit down together again and exchange ideas. As I said before, Dean doesn't tell people what to do, but rather Dean mediates. This happened here too. There was a discussion among four high-ranking experts from the committee and four colleagues from Dean, three from the management board, and then me as the project manager of this project at the time. This conversation was in a class all of its own. One of the chief representatives of the main association came in and said, even before saying good morning, his association has been supporting standardization for many years with tens of thousands of euros per year, which has added up to millions in total. And he now has problems explaining to his members why they should continue to spend even more money. And the head of our legal department said, well, we won't even be starting with any talk of blackmail. That isn't... Oh, yes, that's what's called blackmail. And good morning, by the way. And this is how it went. For 3 hours. The gentleman came at us with the argument, for example, that they really just wanted the best for Dean and that this new technology is simply so new and doesn't belong at Dean. And our head of standardization said, and that is exactly why we have Dean specs. To make it easier for new technologies to access standardization and to open up the market. And at this moment, I thought to myself, this is incredible. I'm working for Robin Hood. When it comes down to it, we defend the right to be part of the standardization process, even if the establishment doesn't like it. But we don't do that by ourselves. We remain neutral. You have to activate it from the outside. And everyone should know this. And now, you do know. So, let me summarize. Standardization is the process by which a body called a standards committee, with a stipulated composition and following a specific process, develops the contents of documents and adopts them by consensus. Yes, this is the lowest common denominator, but it is a common denominator. Don't underestimate that. The results of standardization are called standards. Who would have thought? In this way, Dean standards are democratically legitimate and in compliance with antitrust legislation. Maybe you're thinking, oh cool, it sounds exciting at Dean, and you want to be part of it. Then take a look at our job openings. Yep, you can, just like me, work at Dean and keep all these processes going. You'll find a link to our job advertisement in the episode notes. But if you're still thinking, I'm not entirely sure what exactly this is, this Dean place. Never fear, I will tell you all about that next time. On that note, I look forward to having you here and stay curious.